Good morning, and thank you. I had a grandson born 2 weeks ago yesterday, the night before Easter, so look forward to his dedication as we dedicate Samuel Lee in the next month or so. A scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. We're talking about new things and old things. Appropriate to have a baby dedication. From Jeremiah chapter 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. A once-in-a-lifetime experience will take place in 88 days, and I have yet to see it announced on the news, and I can't find it on any calendar. On July 11th, 2018, I will be 60 years old. When my children first realized it, it's like their eyes just glazed over, as if they were saying, "We haven't even thought of a nursing home yet." It's been interesting to see the reactions at home, the things they say and the things they do, asking more questions about how I do things and offering to do more things around the house. They tell me that I'm old, and they say it in such a way that it implies that I'm washed up, outdated, old hat, out of touch. Now, it's true that I go to them when my electronic things don't work very well, and I don't understand all of their vocabulary. They look at me as if I'm lying when I talk about gas being 27 cents a gallon and a time when we couldn't pump our own gas at the gas stations. They can't believe that I could live without a microwave and a cell phone. I mention a party line, and they think that I'm talking about a Snapchat announcement as to where the youth are gathering that Friday evening. And when I explained to them what a party line was, they laugh. Any of you grew up with a party line? Yeah. Party line is where several families in a neighborhood had one telephone line, and you shared it with one another, and you couldn't make calls if another family was using the line. You could also listen into their conversations, and they could listen into yours, so it was a mixed blessing. A couple weeks ago, someone brought a rotary phone to Maplewood Mennonite Church, and the kids saw that for the very first time. They were so impressed and thought I was bringing home a new toy. They cannot picture how to use an outhouse, and they don't know the car has a spare tire, and they wouldn't know what to do with it if they needed it. They don't believe me when I say there used to be a time when stores were not open on Sundays. When I talk about these things, they tell me that I'm old, just like the things that I've mentioned. Old often implies no longer necessary. We use the phrase, "That's the old way of doing things," or "That's how it was in the old days." Our scripture passage this morning refers to something old. Am I not working this right? Right arrow? There we go. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. The old covenant that God had established with Israel and Judah required very strict obedience to many things, including offering daily sacrifices in order to be forgiven. The Old Covenant included laws about what not to eat, what not to wear. It gave guidelines as to when married couples could be sexually intimate. The Old Covenant demanded the death penalty for adulterers and thieves. The Old Covenant demanded that husbands could permit their wives under certain circumstances, but it gave no provisions for wives to leave their husbands. But Moses, whom God had given that Old Testament covenant, saw a time when there would be a new covenant established. I'll point to you and there you go. Okay. For Deuteronomy 29. These are the terms of the covenant the Lord commanded Moses to make with the Israelites in Moab, in addition to the covenant he made with them at Horeb. Moses summoned all the Israelites and said to them, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw these great trials, these signs and great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear." Jeremiah also predicted a new covenant. "The day will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Judah and the people of Israel. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people." And then Jesus comes. And Jesus does not come to replace an outdated, old, and unnecessary agreement, but to fulfill the old covenant that God had given to Moses. Jesus' words, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." The old covenant does not mean useless, meaningless, outdated, unimportant. Antique roadshow shows us that some old things are very valuable. Using outhouses would keep some of the sewer from getting into our rivers. When we had mechanics pumping our gas for us, they would notice things about the car that would be helpful for us to fix or adjust. Living the old ways in the old times was a lot cheaper. We didn't have cell phone bills or sewer bills or internet bills or computers or cell phone plans. The old law that God refers to is not useless, unimportant, or meaningless. Every command God gave was for our well-being and for our health. The Old Covenant had many restrictions on our diet and forbids the eating of pork. Well, we know that unless pork is properly prepared and stored and cooked, it's a very dangerous item. And many people around the world are dying from eating the pork. So God said simply, don't eat pork. Avoid pork. The Old Covenant demanded a day of rest, one day every week. Those of us that don't abide by that Old Covenant command find ourselves tired and ill and less happy and more stressed, and we are shortening the days of our lives. The Old Covenant provided you with a person who could speak to God on your behalf, a priest who relayed your requests, your confessions, your requests to God, and then declared God's forgiveness to you. The Old Covenant gave us a checklist of things, And we could check down the list. If we gave our tithe, if we went to worship when we were supposed to, if we prayed appropriately, if we took the Sabbath day of rest, then God would be pleased with us. And we would find favor with God. Well, that was true, but that was also a problem. Because faithfulness to God was judged by what a person did, not who a person was. The intention of the Old Testament covenant was to guide people to become a certain type of people who loved God and one another. People who practiced justice and mercy and grace. People who saw God as one who cared for them and kept them from unhealthy diets and lifestyles. As a parent, I give my children lists of things they can and cannot do. It's not to make their life miserable, contrary to what they sometimes think. It is to shape them into people who become responsible adults with manners, integrity, and healthy lifestyle practices. Nothing I ask them to do or forbid them to do is to make me more powerful or in control. It is because I am in control that I have the responsibility to set these guidelines. The old covenant was written in stone, chiseled out on a rock by God. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave them the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. The old covenant was written in stone, but the new covenant is written on our hearts, mentioned in Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Ezekiel lists several things here. A new heart, a new spirit, true holiness. The Mosaic law, the old covenant, could not provide those things. The new covenant is made possible only by faith in Christ who shed his blood to take away the sins of the world. John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus, on the night of the Last Supper, takes the cup and he says, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." The book of Hebrews in the New Testament is wonderful and clear as to how this old covenant is replaced by the new covenant, a better covenant. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The book of Hebrews explains how Jesus becomes the priest who replaces all the priests that have come before. And because Jesus will never die, our priest will never die. We'll always have someone going to God on our behalf. And with Jesus being on duty 24 hours a day, we're not subject to only having our confessions forgiven during the time that the priest was in the temple. Jesus is the one who can declare that we are forgiven. Jesus is the one who is now the middleman between ourselves and God. Well, what's wrong with being old? Everything. And nothing. Everything in that the old covenant was based on what humans doing. When you sinned, you, a person, would go to a priest, another person. You, a person, were to bring your offering and give it to a priest, another person who would collect it and kill it. You, the person, would come and confess your sins to another person who would then go to God behind the curtain and confess on your behalf. From Leviticus 5, when anyone becomes aware that they are guilty in any of these matters, they must confess to what they have sinned. As a penalty for the sin they have committed, they must bring to the Lord a female lamb or goat from the flock as a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for them for their sin. Your spiritual and religious life was based on the timetable and the availability of human beings. Your salvation was based on the willingness and the discretion of other human beings. Your spiritual esteem was based on what other human beings told you it was to be. As long as churches and tabernacles and religion and salvation are based on human thought and reasoning, they are going to be flawed. And as long as priests and pastors and elders and board members and deacons or Sunday school teachers and church members are human beings, the church is going to be imperfect. Because the old covenant was based so much on what humans had to do, it was less than what God wanted it to be. What was good about the old covenant is that it came from God and it shows us what God wants and needs from us. We read in Romans, through the law we became conscious of sin. The old covenant protects us from harmful foods. The old covenant directs us to practice justice, insisting that instead of paying someone back for their sin and adding on a penalty, you simply do an eye for an eye. It was the old covenant which first gave us the commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And from Leviticus, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Those are old covenant commands. Jesus declares that any Christian today following those two old covenant commands are fulfilling everything that Jesus was teaching. God intended the old covenant to shape us into people who understand that God is a God of love, mercy, and grace. Since we could not see God as a God of love, mercy, and grace, as we saw God more of a probation officer or a judge, God sent His Son, Jesus, to show us mercy, love, grace, and kindness. Jesus demonstrated in His daily life that God wants love, mercy, and grace to be part of our personality. Jesus taught us that the old covenant was good, but challenged us to be better than those who followed the old covenant to the T. We saw it as a combination lock. Once you got everything exactly right, then the lock would open. The Old Testament said, do not murder. Jesus, in the New Covenant, says, I tell you, don't even be angry with anyone. The old covenant said, do not commit adultery. And Jesus, the new covenant, says, don't lust for people that you are not married to. The old covenant said, take an eye for an eye. And Jesus, in the new covenant, says, forgive others who harm you. Jesus came to get us away from trying to please God by following a list of laws. Jesus came to show us who to be and how to act and react as people who believe that God is a God of mercy, love, and justice. The old covenant demanded perfection. The new covenant affirms that we are imperfect and invites us to go directly to God for forgiveness and blessings. Under the new covenant, we are given the opportunity to receive salvation as a free gift. From Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, for it is the gift of God, not by works, like observing the old covenant, so that no one could boast. Our responsibility is to have faith in Christ, the one who fulfilled the law on behalf of ourselves and brought an end to the law's sacrifice through His own sacrificial death. Through the life-giving Holy Spirit who lives in each of us, we share in the inheritance of Christ and enjoy an unbroken relationship with God. from Hebrews chapter 9. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. The primary difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is that God replaced the middleman. Instead of human priests that we must go through in order to talk to God and hear what God is responding to us, we have Jesus Christ who is available at all times. With the new covenant, God replaces the priest and allows us direct communication with him. The priest was a barrier between the people and God. The sanctuary where the people met for worship had a huge, heavy curtain. And the priest would take the human confessions and the human responses, walk behind the curtain, and relay them to God. They would then come back out and relay the message that God had for the people. Well, the moment that Jesus died, Scripture tells us that that curtain was torn in half from top to bottom. And the barrier between us and God was eliminated. And we can go directly to God since Jesus' death. The new covenant, the new testament, is the promise that God makes with humanity that he will forgive and he will restore fellowship with those whose hearts are open. Jesus Christ is the mediator, the middleman of that new covenant. And his death on the cross is the basis of the promise. The new covenant was predicted when the old covenant was still in effect. The prophets, Moses, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all allude to the new covenant. But throughout history, God's people had a hard time buying into a change that's good for them. And they constantly wanted to be like those around them, worshiping their idols and practicing their lifestyle. Even when they were threatened with exile, destruction, and death, they can't seem to make the change and follow God for any consistent length of time. Well, it's time for history to embrace a new story, another covenant, the one God had been calling us towards all along. God wants us to know him, not to argue about what we know about him. God's word through Jeremiah is a call for us to move God from our heads to our hearts, from thinking to being, from religion to relationship. Classic passage that I refer to often for myself as well as those who have the opportunity to preach comes from Luke chapter 18. Jesus said to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, that man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. There are some people who are gathering for worship today all around the world who are thinking to themselves, God is pleased with me. I got out of bed this morning. I got dressed. I wrote my tithe check. I went to church. I participated in the singing. I didn't murder anyone this week. I didn't commit adultery. I did not take the Lord's name in vain. I did not swear. I did not steal. Yep, I did good, and God should be proud of me. I used to be one of those persons, critical, judgmental, boastful. But now But now I come to worship with a heavy heart. Say, God, I blew it this week. I lusted after other women. I wished I had what other people had. I looked after myself first, passed by several people who asked for help. I got angry at others. God, forgive me. And God's words from Jeremiah will come to me. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And today I'll go home justified. Not because I came and participated or brought a message, but because I came, confessed my sin, and asked God to change my heart. Let us pray. Almighty God, your old covenant and new covenant are the same. You want us to be people of integrity, honesty, people who love justice and mercy, people who are gracious, people who love you and love others. Help us to be these people. Help us not to evaluate our righteousness on things we do or don't do, but what's in our heart and the compassion we have for others. Bless us and help us in this, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.